Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. Mary Lurson here from Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation. And we're here at Facebook Live at InterTalk Radio. So if you're seeing us, participating with us, please let your friends know that we're live in our conversation, which will also be up on our podcast later. I'm delighted to welcome. I'm in the room with two doctors. Yes, I am starting with that. But I'm not getting a flu shot because I already got my flu shot. So Dr. Jane Best, who's head of the Arts Education Partnership, I made her laugh, and Dr. Earl Franks, who's now head of the National Association for Elementary School Principals, an acronym that I will start messing up if I say it. So welcome. Welcome to the NAMM show, Jane and Earl. We'll get past the doctors.
It's honored to be here.
It's super fun to be here. Mary, thank you for having me back. I had such a big time last year that this year I brought some reinforcements with my good friend Earl Franks, and we're excited to be here and talk to you about why arts make a difference in a kid's life.
Yeah, terrific. Yes, Jane, it was your first year last year. I remember it was like you had kind of no idea, and now you're teaching others.
I am.
Think about that. And Earl, your first time at the NAMM show, right?
Yes, my first time. I've heard a lot about it, having been a music teacher earlier in my career. And so this is exciting for me to see all the different music people come together in the industry. And I'm excited again to be a part of this and appreciate the NAMM Foundation for this opportunity.
Absolutely. And we know through our NAMM Foundation programs, we also have 2,300 college music students and faculty here. So we're excited that they're here learning and experiencing, and also about 1,800 music teachers and school administrators are here. So we really do try to gather forces, the forces that matter for the cause that we care about. So let's just share. I appreciate if each of you would share a bit about your background in music and arts education and what you are doing now in your organizations. Jane, would you like to kick us off?
Sure. I'm the executive director of the Arts Education Partnership, which is housed at a greater policy organization called Education Commission of the States, where I am the person responsible for convening these 100-plus partners who all come together around the common notion of arts being arts and music, and specific to this conference, who all come together caring that that remains part of a child's well-rounded education. And of course, I'm very grateful for the engagement of NAMM and NAMM Foundation and the National Association of Elementary School Principals as part of that plight. And our greater message is to make sure that we push that information out to a wide array of stakeholders that make decisions around ensuring that arts and music remain part of a kid's curriculum.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. Earl, tell us about your background.
Well, I was an instrumental music teacher for 13 years, taught grades 5 through 12. Following my teaching career, I became a school principal, pre-K-12 school for 9 years. Then I went to the state level as a state executive director for an umbrella organization that provided services for school and school district administrators for 9 years. And July 1st, was very honored to be selected to become the 7th executive director in the 96-and-a-half-year history of the NAESP organization. And we have some 16,000 elementary and middle level school administrators, and we provide high quality services to help them improve in their job. And the goal being, if they improve, then the educational opportunities will improve for all kids.
That's
terrific. We're based in Alexandria, Virginia.
That's terrific. And I think just by your accident, you were a band director somewhere near the South or in the South?
In the South,
in
I
the
think
South.
You could say. I grew up in Georgia, yeah. South Georgia, and my first year I taught near Savannah, Georgia, for the rest of my career, 30 2-3 year career. I was in the Montgomery, Alabama area teaching and being a school principal. And then the umbrella organization was based in Montgomery, the capital, Alabama.
How wonderful. And Jane, you are came from Indiana. Is that correct?
Yes, I hail from the great city of Elkhart, Indiana, which is also known as the capital of music manufacturing. At the time of my childhood, it was the home of over 60 music manufacturers. And so that is very much a part of my my background and my passion for this work.
And did both of you have school music opportunities as you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely. Right. I grew up a band geek.
Yeah. How about you?
and Mary, that's why this is really personal to me, because I started a band in the seventh grade, and because of two influential music teachers that I had in my college school career, I became a music teacher, and certainly that has followed me, and that's who I am today because of those great opportunities that I had being in the school band program.
You know, that makes three of us. I mean, you know, I was a kid in rural Wisconsin that had the remarkable serendipity of having a school board that put together that opportunity for all of us kids living on farms, you know, and we came together to have opportunity to play instruments and to be in ensembles and to learn and train and, you know, scrape my way into a college conservatory program. I have no idea how that happened, but, you know, and I think early on in the development of the NAM Foundation, the impetus and the backbone of it is that we want kids to have the opportunity we had. Right? Because it kind of changed everything quickly, and that became the trajectory of a life.
I agree. And that's why it's just so fun to sit at a table with you two where we all are driving the bus in the same direction and are passionate about what we do.
So. Right. And it's a bus we got to drive. I mean, that really is a perfect segue into my next question, because Jane, you've been at this work for a long time. Certainly, Earl, you have in your various roles. Have we made progress in sharing an understanding of the value of music and arts education for every child? I'm talking about perceptions. Is there, especially within school leadership and within our, you know, we worked really hard to get a federal law passed that had strong language. We worked really hard in our states to grow that language into their state plans. Where are we? I don't think there would be two more capable people to give us a little bit of a barometer on the work that's been done, kind of where we are and what we need to continue doing.
So I think, well, one thing progress is made, obviously, with as of December 2015, when the Every Student Succeeds Act was passed and there were renewed opportunities for arts. So that's progress, just recognizing that people who are the influential decision makers on this are passing laws for great opportunities for schools and districts to employ music and the arts in schools and classrooms. So that's progress. Then I would say the second piece of progress, and Earl, I of course want you to chime in here, is we're getting better at messaging the impact of our work. And that is, of course, in my world, working with politicians and other stakeholders who are making important decisions. Folks like the NAM Foundation that are doing podcasts, organizations like NAESP that are putting it on their platform, if we're doing the messaging about why this matters, it's going to become part of the fiber of what's happening in classrooms.
Yes, and certainly for the NAESP organization, it's an important part of schools. And in 2016, our organization pulled out of our platform statements a standalone resolution that a well-rounded education should include arts education, which certainly is music education. So it's very important for our organization and our members. And to echo what Jane said, the work of the passage of ESSA to include a well-rounded education, which includes music education, is very, very important. And so we've been trying to educate our members, and that's why I'm excited to be in a partnership, and I hope we'll talk about that soon, between our two organizations, creating materials that can help them, educate them, and how they can include arts education in their school curriculum.
So we will get to that partnership information, but a little bit about the school-based realities, right? Because you work with principals, right? 14,000 of them, you said, basically?
16,000.
16,000, mm-hmm. And they are all, you know, they are all head of that ecosystem of a school that requires clean hallways and clothes hung in cubbies. Who doesn't love an elementary school, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, lunchtime breaks and recess and all the energy. Right. You know, first of all, it's encouraging and fulfilling to know that they, as education leaders in that elementary setting, know this is right for children.
Right.
Right? It's
right.
Just natural for children, right? So it feels to me like it's coming from that place. But then we get to the realities of all the other things that need to be done. So the fact that you have put forward this sort of official statement, mm-hmm. that's very powerful.
Well, right? And certainly, you know, with...
Something to lean on, right?
Certainly, and the reason our organization supported EFSA because of the well-rounded language in the bill, because if you go back to No Child Left Behind, there was a heavy emphasis on reading and math metrics only.
Right.
And so to have this inclusion of well-rounded education to include music is very, very important. And I think that's a starting point, which gives school principals and other administrators the opportunity to then expand the curriculum to include these arts education programs.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that from your perspective of your members and the quote-unquote the field, was there sort of I'm being a little dramatic, a kind of a sigh of relief in essence that we're finally able to go back to what we know is really important to do for children?
Yes, because...
You know, I mean, at base, we really kind of... Children tell us what's important to them. We can see it when we're in a school. We feel... And, you know, we went through this period. We knew we could use more data, testing. And you kind of felt that everybody was going like, but this is what we have to do. We know it's kind of not, but this is what we have to do, right? Is there a sense of like, oh, we can get back to some of the true things that we know are important?
It gets back to doing what we know and believe is best for all kids. Because you've talked about this, the whole assessment piece and testing, so much emphasis was being placed on a single test score. And we know that a child's education is more than a single test score. So to include, again, going back to the well-rounded education, to include arts education, certainly music, I mean, it's critical. If we want, now we know that these 21st century skills, job skills, and to be great civic leaders, they include this well-rounded education, this deeper learning, which now business and industry are talking about these soft skills. Well, music, we've been teaching soft skills since the beginning of music. We talk about collaboration and teamwork, work ethic, all of these things that music comes as part of a music program that business and industry now are saying we need these type things for our employees.
Yeah, I was kind of being tongue-in-cheek with one of my colleagues the other day, and we were doing something really, it was rigorous what we had to do. It was, you know, putting together all the work for this show, and we were kind of in the thick of it and you know, working well together, but both of us working really hard. And I remember looking up and said, this isn't hard. I was in a marching band.
There you go.
Right? This isn't hard. I had a March 4th of July parades in the middle of, in the middle of the summer in the Midwest, and you had the military uniform up and you had a piccolo sticking out of you, you know, and there's something about that, right?
And you were problem solving.
Right.
You were communicating.
And you have a memory for how things go because of all the steps you had to learn.
I came in line with my colleagues, whether we wanted to or not. You know, I mean, we knew we had to. We put on a happy face and went out and did it. And I also loved Earl, when we were talking earlier about your trajectory and all the wonderful things that you've done. You said you would go back in a minute to be a band director.
Yes.
Right? There's something just because I think the process that we've experienced with kids who are learning music is what happens to them, right?
Absolutely.
As they are learning music, they're picking up something that at base requires a lot of attention. But then what happens to them? Can you want to share a little bit about
well,
what, what you saw happen with
Certainly,
your own eyes?
Because we know that in music, you know, thinking is important, those critical skills of thinking and the academic piece, which I think music is also an academic subject, and we could talk about that later. But certainly, oftentimes, the aesthetic part of education is overlooked, the feeling part. We teach students to think, but what about how to feel? Because I want people to have emotions and the feeling piece of that. So it's very, very important. Again, if you want a well-rounded education, this deeper learning for every child, then you certainly need to have the opportunity, the options for them to participate in music education and other arts education programs.
I was describing to someone a memory I had of teaching fifth grade boys trombone, and how this was when Jim Carrey's character was all the rage in all the movies, and how they were wonderful, rigorous learners, and we got through everything. But I would just be crying with these boys in these Jim Carrey impressions, you know, and the fun that we had, you know, and it was just fun. But it was hard what they were doing and what they were accomplishing, what they were pushing forward. But I'll just never forget the fun we had learning together, you know, doing things that were stepwise motion and time on task and all the things that those curriculum guidelines were, and yet they felt that freedom to, you know, to just go to a fun place at the same time that learning was hard too. So tell us about what you're doing together to work on, to support principals to understand how they can apply this in their environments.
So you can see why I brought Earl with me to this and how we became very fast friends. So, you know, 18 months ago when I stepped in as the director of the Arts Education Partnership, I quickly identified that we were very heavy on the art side of the equation, but not as strong on the education side of the equation. And Earl and I have talked about this at length. So when he came in as the new executive director, we became fast friends and clearly had a lot in common, as is evidenced here. And we previously had a co-branded product that NAESP had done with Arts Education Partnership around the importance of messaging this to school leaders and the importance of music and arts to school leaders. Because what the research emphatically says is, second to teaching quality, the most important component of a climate and kids' success in school is school leadership. So Earl and I put our heads together and we decided to reinvigorate that product. So he and other stakeholders have a way of messaging this and elevating the dialogue among school leaders. So you want to talk more about the deliverable?
Absolutely. When I saw this publication, I think that came out initially in 2011, What School Leaders Can Do to Increase Arts Education. And it was so practical. It was simplistic. And I said, Jane, this is what principals and other school leaders need to know. They need to have access to this information. It's not a 200-page dissertation. It's something practical, simple, that they can implement these strategies in their school. And so I inquired about, do you think we could republish this as a partnership? And Jane and her group agreed. And so we're excited that the release of this will be at our NAESP annual conference, which will be in Orlando, Florida, July the 9th through the 11th at the Orlando World Center Marriott. And so our plan is that Jane will be there. We will announce this partnership and this the republishing of this document, and everyone there will receive a copy of this. I'm excited about it because it focuses on three concrete actions school principals can take to increase arts education in their schools. And just quickly, one is to establish a school-wide commitment to arts learning. Second, create an arts-rich learning environment. And finally, rethink the use of time and resources. And their strategies align with those three actions. And again, it's very practical and something that we can help promote to our members and all school leaders, whether they're members of NAESP or not, on how they can include arts education in their school curriculum.
That's fantastic.
And I'd just add one of the things from a policy perspective that I'm particularly excited about the partnership is, you know, we're looking to Earl and his constituency to get some real life examples of where these three capacities are playing out so people can see where and why this is making a difference in some of the bright spots across the country.
So this will be available in July.
Yes.
And we pledge to help boost it and make sure that information about its availability is well known and shared. And of course, any stories that, you know, we have found in our work that the perception of the value of music and arts education has been pretty well established. You don't get a lot of pushback about that it's important or not, right? I mean, it's kind of, we're in that squishy, yeah, I agree kind of zone. I agree, it's wonderful. But then you go to the next level of what are you doing, right? How are you implementing that belief of its value to children? Well, will you make time in the curriculum? Will you have time in the budget to hire a quality teacher that will
right.
come and will you give them the flexibility to establish a curriculum that is aligned to some standards and has, you know, developmentally appropriate and all? You know, you will dig down. So, But that's terrific. So we look forward to seeing that. What else are you working on, Jane?
Well, we're busy. Obviously,
side.
We couldn't be more excited about the collaboration we have with you at the NAMM Foundation and the CMA Foundation to support the work that you all are doing and the advocacy that you all do around music. And so we also had another dated product called Music Matters that really looks at how students learn, achieve, and succeed in life. And we have grounded it in rigorous research that exists from the Arts Ed Search database. We're fortunate at the Arts Education Partnership to be the home of the National Clearinghouse of the most rigorous research that exists with respect to the importance of music and the arts. And we're excited about that big release and doing that with you in May. And do you have more things that you would like to say about?
Sure. We're delighted. We funded the first piece, I forgot, maybe 5-6 years ago, Music Matters. And again, to working with the Country Music Association Foundation in partnership to produce this revision, this updating. It's also really important to us is that we fund quite a bit of research, but to have your agency come in and be sort of the meta-analysis of that. What research is relevant to the most scrutiny, the highest version of peer review. And that, you know, your eye on the product development is so important to us and to everyone in the field so we can go forward with really substantial information about it's the value. Again, working on the perception, right? That it is critical. It's essential. Every child needs it. A school that has it has a bounce. I walk into a school, I know 2 steps in the door if there's a music education program there or not. There's just something, there's a bounce in the building, you know, maybe it has to do with rhythm or something, right? I don't know. But there's that energy that exists in a, so that's, we're doing that in May, at the end of May. We hope to bring Jane and maybe your boss to Washington, D.C. with us when we have our annual fly-in. We will be carrying that information up to our congressional meetings, which even though there's an education law that has been passed, and you would say, what's the relevancy of advocating directly to our federal elected officials? They are still allocating Title I funds. They are still allocating Title II funds. We have a new Title IV arts, well-rounded. So we constantly have to be educating our elected officials at every level.
Absolutely. And as important as it is to ground it in the most current rigorous research out there of why music makes a difference in a kid's life, it's also important to deliver it in a user-friendly, digestible way. And that's what makes us really excited about putting this brief together for you.
Yes, it's time to go from the 200-page dissertation to a trifold brochure.
Absolutely.
Right? Something
yes,
that,
and by right. the way, that will also be available on our website. And so we certainly want to promote this to the entire profession rather than just NAESP membership, which we will do. And we'd love for them all to be NAESP members. But at the same time, we think it's important to give back to the profession and help all kids. And that's what we really want to do. I just want to quickly plug the policy piece, which you both have just talked about. Certainly, NAESP is pushing Congress to increase Title I funding. And I would ask that all supporters of music, music education, arts education, and certainly NAMM and the NAMM Foundation to help promote that. It's critical because we know that certainly states have this supplemental dollars that can be used for, again, the well-rounded education to include music. Title I received $14.9 million in funding in fiscal year 2017, but that's been on the decline since 2012.
I think it's billion, right?
So, yes.
Billion with a B.
Retype there.
Yep.
Typo. And then in Title IV, which is also another part that our organization strongly supports, which helps states and school districts fund these programs. We're urging Congress to fund Title IV at the authorized level of $1.65 billion with a B.
And thank you for joining us on that. You know, we're up to $450 million for this fiscal, but not to the level of authorization.
Right.
Which would make such a huge impact on what's happening in schools. So we're right on the same page with that.
So our members, certainly, they need to really send that message and don't just sit back and allow those of us at the national level to advocate for them.
Yep.
Because we know grassroots advocacy is critical and all politics is local, really.
You know, last year in our fly-in and going to Washington was the first year that we actually advocated for appropriations because that's the time that we're in. So Title I, we went into every congressional office advocating for Title I, which was a great education for our members to have a deeper understanding of the needs of that program and those communities and the communities that are receiving Title I, and also that the new law allows for flexibility for school climate. So we're really very closely aligned and want to continue to stay closely aligned. Any final thoughts for where we go from here? I'm sitting here with two really important people in this work. Do we just keep at it?
I think we keep at it and we just keep bringing more people into the fold, all moving in the same direction. And I just can't say enough that how important it is for us to elevate each other's impact stories and tell good stories around why this work is making a difference across the country, because from there, then it feeds off of each other and replicates.
Collaboration is very, very important. And that's why I appreciate the partnership with AEP, as well as the NAMM Foundation. From an advocacy standpoint, there's really no community that's as passionate about what they do as the arts and the music folks. And if they were all to come together, unified message, it would be powerful.
Well, thank you so much, Earl and Jane, Dr. Bess, Dr. Franks.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks,
Mary, for being with me. Just wanted that doctor thing to hang in the air a little bit.
Because we're so fixated.
Very accomplished people that are serving us in really, really remarkable ways. So thank you for your service. Thank you for your commitment. And most of all, for coming to being brave enough to come to the NAMM show and being part of our crazy world of music commerce and music creativity and all sorts of, you want to see collaboration. It's right at your doorstep
now
here at the NAMM show.
Absolutely.
And thank you all for being with us here at InterTalk Radio and being part of Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L. N-A-M-M.